Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And say hello to our friend Diana Russini from The Athletic. Diana, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. After a great weekend of sports, I used to cover the UConn women. That was my first big job in sports.
Nice.
I worked for NBC Connecticut, and it was all UConn women all day. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to get to ESPN if I just keep covering the UConn women. No one cares. Well, guess what? They care.
They sure do.
So it was pretty cool to see Gina win again. And then, of course, I also used to cover Alex Ovechkin in Washington when I worked there. So to see Ovi break the record. And the start of Masters Week, and of course, all drafts. So I feel like it's just a good time in sports, you know?
I totally agree. I love this time of year. I can't wait for the Masters coming up. And like you said, an awesome weekend in the world of sports. So, Diana, from our vantage point kind of looking in here, it seems pretty clear that the Titans are leaning Cam Ward at number one overall. And they canceled the workout with Shedeur Sanders over the weekend. So how do you view, I guess, the way that this is all set up here with the Titans not going out and getting a veteran quarterback of note that's going to be a threat to start games? Is it as simple as Cam Ward? How do you view like this decision and how it's viewed by the Titans organization?
Yeah, I think they've been doing tons of work on these quarterbacks, knowing that they want to get a guy and bring him in for the future. And this going back to probably even checking out fill of these guys during the season just to make sure they know everything about each of these guys. And I'd always gotten the sense that Cam Ward was going to be their choice in terms of if you had to rank the quarterbacks that Tennessee liked. So obviously knowing that they canceled the Shedeur Sanders private workout almost as a courtesy of, look, we're not going to waste time. We know what we want. We know what direction we're going in. We've watched you plenty. We know what we need to know. So here they are now taking a big swing on a quarterback, it appears, right? I think most people around the league, you know, believe that this is the direction the Tennessee Titans are going to go in. I was at the owners' meeting last week talking with some people part of the organization, and look, no one's going to tell you to your face, yes, we've decided, you know, it is set in stone internally, but you definitely get a sense that they're excited about this and that this is the direction they're going to go in. I do know that there are other teams hoping that they pick up the phone, that the Titans answer their call and maybe are able to at least consider a trade to get up there, to get number one, or at least to pick number one overall, as we know that there's some quarterback desperate teams right now. But I think as things stand right now, I feel pretty good that this is the direction the Titans are going to go in, and they feel good about it.
Did you get the sense, Diana, that I don't know if disagreement's the right way to characterize it, but that there were some in the organization who at some point were more in favor of looking to trade down? I mean, it felt like at the combine around that time that, you know, it seemed like around the league, it was sort of like the feeling that, you know, the Titans were probably looking to do that. And obviously all signs point to Cam now. Like, do you feel like there's been different viewpoints on that, and also I guess that they've sort of just evolved into Cam as the answer?
Yeah, that's a good read by you, because you're right. At the combine, I definitely left Indianapolis thinking, okay, phone lines are open. Like, they're going to talk this out. And I think they're doing this the right way, where they are listening and they have listened to offers. But I think when they're looking at the organization as a whole and what's best for them, they have that strong of a belief in what Cam Ward can do for them. And I think the belief that they also even have in their head coach and Brian Callahan and what he can do in terms of an offense and helping, we'll call it just groom a young quarterback in his system to have success. So yeah, do I think that there was healthy conversation internally? I know that there was about what should they do? What's the best for the future and even the present of the Tennessee Titans. And when you look at the people in charge, you look at their backgrounds, you look at how they do things at the organizations that they were before they were in Tennessee, collecting picks was the style, was the way to go. So of course it was on the table of, hey, this is what I know. Here's what I know works. But when you've got a quarterback that you believe in, you're gonna pick that over those picks, unless it's something so outrageous, so over the top, which at this point I don't see a team that's willing to give that much to move Tennessee off that. Of course, you know, we've got a little over 2 weeks before this all goes down, but I think everyone feels pretty good that Cam Ward is the guy for Tennessee.
So, Diana, as you're well aware, I mean, it's been a heck of a shuffle in the Titans front office with their power structure over the last couple of years. You had Robinson in, Robinson out, Vrabel gets fired, and now you've got Rand Carthon out and Mike Borgonzi coming in with Chad Brinker and that dynamic. They've hired Reggie McKenzie and Dave Ziegler. It's a different way that they're trying to go about doing things here. So what do you make of, as you sift through kind of the wreckage here of how this has all ended up, what do you make of the current power structure in place for the Titans and the way that they're trying to go about things here under Amy Adams Strunk?
It just goes to show you how quickly things can change, because when, you know, we would talk, when I would see you at Titans practices years ago, it was such a steady ship, right? With John Robinson as the general manager and Mike Vrabel, the head coach, there weren't a lot of firings. There was change, right? Because we know that, you know, offensive coordinators moved on, whether it was Matt LaFleur, Arthur Smith. But everything was steady there. The problem was, I think, roster building. I think it was finding really good players and putting themselves in some tough positions and obviously trading away some key players like A.J. Brown. So to go from a time when the Titans were very clear with who they were and what they were to now, which I think my biggest question I have about Tennessee, and I would ask them directly if they were in front of me right now, is what are they? What are the Titans? What are the 2025 Titans? Because I wasn't even sure what the 2024 Titans were. But I had a fantastic conversation with Coach Callahan during the Senior Bowl, just about that first year, about what that was like for him, how much he learned. And, you know, collectively around the league, one of my favorite conversations is actually that type of conversation of talking to a coach after his first year. And it is mind-blowing how much they learn and how much they grow, almost like players when you see them take that big step in their second season. I think you're going to get a different version of Brian Callahan. I think when you lose the way he did and you're open to listening to a lot of people, you realize the best way to go about conducting a team and leading is to do it the way that you know. And you tend to gravitate towards listening and being open because you want to be collaborative. But at the end of the day, someone's got to make the call. Someone's got to be the decision maker and someone's got to lead. And I think that's the version of Brian Callahan we're going to see, which then can maybe help answer the question that I have, which is what are they? Who are they going to be? Are they going to be that tough team that we saw years ago? Are they going to be really skilled and talented? You know, and I just think with all the change, something needs to settle. I get questions all the time about Brian Callahan's future. You know, is he on the hot seat this year? I have a hard time believing ownership wants to go through another change after so many over the last few seasons. So I think despite the fact that we usually see general managers come in and want to bring their own guys, I think Mike Borgonzi is going to try to make this work with Brian Callahan and hope that they're going to get the best version of the Titans. But I can tell you around the league, the belief in what Mike Borgonzi can bring to Tennessee, just from based on what he knows and has learned on his way up, he's obviously paid his dues. That's being applauded for that hire. So while I think it's hard to hear ownership moving on and letting go and being all in on Rand and, you know, appear to be all in on Mike Vrabel, and then boom, they're gone and, you know, Rand's gone and then Mike's gone. I think for right now, they feel settled in this setup. We just have to see what it's going to look like.
So, Diana, you and Chase Daniel on the Awesome Scoop City podcast talking about the Browns. I mean, if we're all – I think we all would agree. You know, Cam Ward, one to the Titans. It would be shocking if there's any other outcome. But the Browns at two, fascinating. Still a lot of ways they could go at quarterback. What do you think that looks like right now?
I just feel like we're at a point where there's so many different situations that can play out. I do think – you know, with Cam Ward most likely going to Tennessee, you have to wonder what Cleveland's going to do. And the Shedeur Sanders element in all this, I just find really interesting, because you look at Cleveland and, you know, They've got Kenny Pickett on their roster. I don't believe Deshaun Watson's going to be able to play this year, obviously because he re-injured himself. So where do they go at quarterback if they don't have conviction that Shedeur Sanders is the guy? Well, then you probably go veteran quarterback market. Look, Joe Flacco had success there with Kevin Stefanski years ago, but they never brought him back. So I'm not sure where that stands. I know a few weeks ago, I don't believe that they were having any conversations. And then, of course, you got the Kirk Cousins element in all of this, where he's in Atlanta. He obviously played under Kevin Stefanski as his offensive coordinator when they were together in Minnesota. So could a trade maybe perhaps be in place if they don't go quarterback? And then you got the New York Giants, who I think are making moves that make you wonder, all right, well, you signed two veteran quarterbacks in Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, essentially combined contractually. What are they making? 16, 15? That's like a bridge quarterback salary. They could still go quarterback here in the draft. And then, you look at their situation of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane on the hot seat. They are clearly on the hot seat, not from any information. It's all from public information that you see their owner talk about them, right? Like, you don't have to dig that hard. You just hear how the owner talks about them. You know he's not happy. So you have to wonder just – are they willing to roll the dice here and hope that Shedeur nails? When you have conversations with people watching these workouts and are doing so much work on this, it's crazy how all over the map I'm getting just, we'll call it report cards on Shedeur. I know one organization that sees him going in the top three, then I have another who doesn't even think he's a top 10. So I think it's so fluid right now, which I think is fair, and I think you guys get it, and people listening understand it at this point. I think the Browns are still trying to figure out what they want to do. I think the Giants are still trying to figure out what they want to do, and I think this stuff, Shedeur could slide, depending on where they go, if the Browns decide that they want to go best player available or perhaps trade out.
Well, Diana, you're really kind with your time, as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. And we've almost made it to draft time. Enjoy the next few weeks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Diana Russini, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from The Athletic. We'll react to what Diana Russini had to say. Take your thoughts on all things Titans. We will have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8:30 as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I think they've been doing tons of work on these quarterbacks, knowing that they want to get a guy and bring him in for the future. And this going back to probably even checking out film of these guys during the season, just to make sure they know everything about each of these guys. And I'd always gotten the sense that Cam Ward was going to be their choice in terms of if you had to rank the quarterbacks that Tennessee liked. So obviously knowing that they canceled the Shedeur Sanders private workout almost as a courtesy of, look, we're not going to waste time. We know what we want. We know what direction we're going in. We've watched you plenty. We know what we need to know. So here they are now taking a big swing on a quarterback, it appears, right? I think most people around the league, believe that this is the direction the Tennessee Titans are going to go in.
That's Diana Russini with us in the last segment. Appreciate her taking some time to be with us this morning. Joe, interesting to talk about the Cam Ward part of this. Now, we spoke earlier in the show about the Titans canceling the workout with Shedeur Sanders, which signals, it's looking pretty obvious that Cam Ward is going to be their pick. It was interesting to hear Diana kind of run through the timeline there, too, because as you pointed out, a lot of the conversation coming out of the combine was that Tennessee was open to trading the pick and that the Titans may want to move down. And it feels like things have shifted since then based on their actions of not picking up a starting level quarterback in free agency. Now you've canceled the private workout with Shedeur Sanders. So it feels like along the way here, as they've dug deeper into the Cam Ward front, that they've really liked what they've seen. It feels clear to me, Joe, that the meetings that they've had with Cam Ward have really gone a long way here in terms of their interest. And now everybody from us to Diana Russini to I think everybody around the league at this point would be stunned if he's not the number one overall pick for the Titans.
Yeah, at this point it's a complete shocker if 2 weeks from Thursday it's not Cam Ward. You pointed out earlier in the show, we are still before the timeline of the big trade 9 years ago. you know, to get out of one, which of course was a team trading out of one that had just drafted a quarterback at the top of the draft at 2 overall a year earlier. So yep. It was, you know, a very different situation. But however it came about, you know, and if, again, we will hear how we will hear to some degree how this was always the choice, top guy on the board, all that stuff. Team, you know, that's what teams say. But however it came about, pretty clear that they've gotten to this. Or, as you also said earlier, the most amazing smokescreen job ever as they, you know, whatever.
They'd really deserve a lot of credit.
They trade would. Out. Yeah, it would be truly just a beautiful job of fooling everybody. Take Shador, trade out, take Travis Hunter, Abdul Carr, whatever. Anything other than Cam Ward to the Titans at 1 overall right now is just like, what in the world are you talking about?
What did you make of what Diana had to say on the Brian Callahan front? I found that interesting. I think if you're a Titans fan listening to it, you think to yourself, well, you know, ownership may have an idea of the way they want things to go moving forward, but if we've learned anything over the last few years, it's that maybe an idea of how they want things to go and then the actuality of actually going through it may change things pretty quickly in terms of how Amy Adams Strunk views the job security of Brian Callahan. But it sounded like from what Diana threw out there that, you know, maybe not a huge appetite to move it on from him after this year and that you want to give it some staying power. Which, frankly, like as we've talked about, especially if you're drafting Cam Ward, I think makes a lot of sense to not just uproot the entire first year of what he's learning out there immediately, unless it's just an abject disaster out there with Brian Callahan. But some interesting stuff there from Russini on the Callahan front. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, very interesting. And look, I think this comes down to, like she mentioned there, you know, you have a new GM, you automatically go to, okay, so who's his guy as a coach?
Right.
So you could look at Brinker or Borgonzi and say, you know, does either of them, you know, have someone in mind or someone that they'd like to bring in? But to me, that's just bad management of a football franchise if you're not just going to fire this guy now and do that. If you're going to go into this year, it makes no sense to look at it like this is just a lame duck coach situation. So let's just throw away a year with the rookie. With the rookie, you're gonna make this quarterback your face of your franchise. And by the way, this coach is on thin ice, and we probably have somebody else in mind we'd rather have than just fire him. He should have fired him. So, I mean, I hope she's right. You know, I hope that that's how they're looking at it. I hope that it really is like Borgonzi really does. Like, they want this to work out. It's why would you waste a year otherwise? You know, like this idea that they, again, Brinker wanted to move. That may be true. Maybe Brinker at one point thought about it. However you want to characterize it. It doesn't mean that right now he's still sitting there like, man, I can't wait to fire this guy. That would be stupid. That would be incredibly stupid. And I don't really buy it. I don't really buy that these guys are just biding their time to get rid of Brian Callahan. Now, I think he has to prove himself this year. It's a huge year for him. And then, of course, we don't know with ownership. I mean, we also know that Amy Adams Strunk herself could just decide to do something. But I don't know. I get the feeling, Robbie, maybe I'm just overreacting to, like, excuse me. I guess these, like, Quinta eggs have really attacked my immune system. You know, maybe I'm overreacting to like how things are being presented publicly, but it feels a little bit like she's pulling back a little bit and saying, okay, you guys deal with this, figure out what you think it should be. Again, I could be wrong, and we could have another firing that she just decides to do in a year, but I kind of get that feeling.
I kind of get that feeling too, but it's also to the point with her, Joe, that I think I'll believe it when I see it. Like, let's go through the process of next year and see what it looks like. And I think I'll believe it. Like, if they go 5-12, I'll believe it when I see it, when she doesn't just go off the handle and make some firing out there. I think she's earned that over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. We'll be waiting for the other shoe to drop if that's how the season goes. And again, how the season goes, I mean, Brian Callahan does have a lot to prove. So, like, if it turns out there's a lot of the same issues, and certainly if there's a lot of the same issues, plus it's an underwhelming year for Cam Ward as a rookie, then look, I mean, it's on the table, and I think it's fair. But I'm just saying that right now the mindset of this organization should be, we're all in on Brian Callahan and Cam Ward being a partnership for years to come, because that's why Brian Callahan got this job in the first place. Didn't work out with the first guy. Blame whoever you want. But he gets this chance, and it's going to be a real opportunity to do it. That's what the mindset of the franchise should be. Otherwise, it's just a bad losing franchise mindset.
102.5 The Game and Green River Whiskey have teamed up to give away tickets to see Lainey Wilson at Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club coming up on Thursday, October 2nd. Tune in to Chase and Big Joe today during the 9 o'clock hour for the keyword to text in for your chance to win tickets. Green River Whiskey, sit back, relax, and bourbon. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft and the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You know, just grateful to realize you guys moved me in the batting lineup to clean up today.
It's true.
You know, because, you know, some people need someone hitting behind them to make them, you know, look better.
So that's true.
I can do that for people.
Well, you are very versatile. There's no doubt about that. Just a versatile guy. You can put anywhere in the lineup.
That's why Vrabel liked me, because, you know, he loved versatility and he loved me.
Yep. Vrabel loved Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Aaron Brewer, and Corey Curtis. Those were really his three guys here.
They're all tough as $3 steaks.
That's right.
I would say I was tasty as a $2 steak.
Yeah. So, Corey, I want to start here. Kuharsky put something out over the weekend about PSL sales going well for the Titans and maybe better than they expected. And I think you can view that a couple different ways. Like, we heard from some Titans fans, you know, in the immediate aftermath that say, how? Like, the prices are outrageous. The team is terrible. Yeah. How are the PSL sales going well? And then you look at it, and, you know, it's the bright, shiny new toy with a new stadium, and it's more than just Titans football that's coming into the stadium. So when you hear that, are you surprised that sales apparently are going very, very well, maybe even better than the Titans thought heading into all this? And what's kind of your view on that?
Well, I think even if they weren't going better than they thought, I think it's good business to say they're going better than we thought. Okay, that's number one, because you want your product to be in demand. Number two, you know, if you were a current PSL holder, they did offer deals that did make it somewhat palatable to rebuy your PSL and get back into the stadium. Also, you know, you cut the number of seats by 10,000, so you don't have to sell quite as many. So the math is a little bit different there. But the other thing I'll get back to is it's a good investment, right? Because prices only go up. And so your PSL is going to become worth more. Your tickets will become worth more. And it can be an investment. I mean, guys, Taylor Swift does one show there. And if you've got four tickets because you're in a priority list, because you're a season ticket holder and able to get those tickets, you can make a lot of money on those tickets. If you want to sell half your game tickets to Packer fans and Bills fans and Jets fans who flood into Nashville, you can make much of your money back. You know, there's good business to be had by owning those seats and not just going to those games. Now, as we all know, it takes money to be an investor. You can't be an investor without money. And so I think, you know, from that aspect, there's a lot more people in Nashville now because our population has gone up with a lot more businesses who have money and can make, you know, that investment. It might not be the average person, but there are other people who can do that and understand it as a possibility, you know, to make money. And, you know, hopefully, the one argument that I brought up that I haven't brought up that stands is people understand they're not going to stink forever, and that, you know, these things happen to most teams. You know, even the Patriots stink, so it happens, and so they won't stink forever. And if you're a fan of the team, you're a fan of the team, and you can still buy tickets if that's the way you want to spend your money.
So, Corey, at this point, is there any doubt left in your mind that with all we've seen, including now the cancellation of the private workout with Shedeur Sanders, that the Titans are taking Cam Ward number one?
You know, I would leave like a 3% window that it wouldn't be Cam Ward, that somebody comes in with an astronomical trade and they decide to go with picks and Sanders or Hunter or whatever. But it would seem hard to believe. And I know Deion's kind of a no BS guy. And I mean, what do you think happened? Do you think, hey, if you're going to pick him, or seriously, if you're thinking about picking him, work him out, but if you're going to take Ward, we're not going to work out. Is that what you think happened?
Maybe. Could be. Hey, yeah. I mean, or the Titans were just like, they just decided to do it on their own. But yeah, I mean, I think that's plausible for sure. Kind of like, okay, do we need to spend more time, or like, do you guys know what you're doing? You know, let's just go ahead and not waste any more time. I think I could see that.
What do you think of him dirting the last throw?
I don't know. I mean, not something you typically see at a pro day. I mean, there the other thought, Corey, on the pro day was apparently a couple throws, the ball a little bit wobbly, cut him out of his hands. We were really getting into the pro day analyzation over the weekend. A little wobbly.
Well, I mean, one is the ball comes out of his hand a little wobbly. One's a choice.
That's true.
One's a choice to not try to make it happen, you know, on your pro day. And maybe I'm being hypercritical.
Good awareness. But, not throwing the ball into traffic.
Yeah, but it's a pro day. You know, you're trying to show off.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one before at a pro day. No. So how far do you think he could slide? That's the other – like, I think he's probably the most interesting story in the draft, because he could very well go 2 to Cleveland, and then he could very well slide, like, into the middle of first round. Like, I have no idea where Shedeur Sanders is going to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there are some people who think he's worthy of a top-5 pick, but there are a lot of people who think he's a late first, early second. So I guess it depends – you know, I always said it takes one team. All right, but there are a number of teams that are quarterback needy. You know, the Jets, the Steelers, the Saints. What about the Saints? Don't they pick like 8 or 9?
They're 9th, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take them off the board, you know, for Shedeur Sanders. Because, you know, they've made it clear, they're going with Derek Carr, but they didn't give that a ringing endorsement. I think they're just financially saddled, you know, to him right now. So I would be surprised to see him get out of the first round, but it's just a matter of, you know, how far the slide is. Like, Justin Fields slid to 15, and then the Bears traded up when he was still available, I think it was, to 15, you know, to get him. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he slid, if somebody traded up into the top 15 to get him. So I guess I'd be surprised if he made it out of the top 15, but I certainly wouldn't expect to see him get past 21 to Pittsburgh.
So, Corey, you know, we talked to Diana Rossini, who, of course, you are now sending home with a double down the line, down the right field line.
Yeah, she got the easy questions from you, and, you know, you guys, you know, coming at me.
That's true.
Exactly, coming up with a knuckle curve here. But, no, she mentioned, you know, the idea of, you know, the patience with Brian Callahan of, you know, people may – think, you know, new GM wants his own guy. We've all talked a lot about Callahan on the hot seat, but kind of, you know, basically said that she thinks Borgonzi wants to work out with Callahan, which again, to me, it's like, yeah, he should, or else then you fire him already. But yeah. What do you think of that? And also the idea that, is it possible if Amy Adams Strunk, who obviously publicly is just completely going recluse now, but may pull back a little bit and kind of let these guys deal with it? How do you feel about, you know, let them make the hard football decisions? How do you feel about Brian Callahan's security?
Well, I mean, look, they went 3-14, and, you know, do I think he's entirely to blame? No. I mean, we all saw the plays that weren't made, and plays that were there to be made that weren't made, and that's not entirely, you know, on the coach. But ultimately, you know, it's like being commander of the Enterprise. You're responsible for conduct of crew, and so at some point, you know, you're responsible, you know, for winning and losing. I think, you know, it's possible to say first year and subpar quarterback play, you know, subpar play here. We got to, it's like, you know, giving a young quarterback a chance with personnel around him. You got to give the coach some personnel around him to get a better view of things. You know, as I recall, there was a coach in New England who didn't win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. So, you know, I think personnel does matter. But at the same time, you know, I was talking to Teron about this. You know, do you feel like, I mean, I feel like, you know, Callahan's there. I think Callahan's getting his input, but I don't think he's anything close to the draft process like he was last year.
I mean, I think it's fair. And they also got, there's so many freaking people in the front office now. It's hard to,
yeah.
Like, there's just, it's an incredible amount of people involved in this decision making.
Yeah. And so they said it's going to be a discussion. But, you know, I think that's their job. All right. And so I think they've got the front office. It's their job to buy the groceries. And I think it's Callahan's job to cook with them. And I think that's the traditional model. It's the model that I personally think, you know, works better. And so now that he's their coach, you know, I think, you know, they will give him a chance. But guys, I agree. I think the best thing for the Titans, the best thing for Mike Borgonzi is that he has a winning coach and that he doesn't have to deal with that. But, you know, if they go 3-14 again, guys, we'll have a new head coach next year. I don't think there's much question about that.
So are you throwing it out there? Are we going from let Rand cook to let Callahan cook? Is that what you're dubbing here?
Let Cali cook?
I'm not dubbing anything. It's just, how about this? Do your job. That's what everybody needs to do. Do, in the words of Hurt Brooks, do your job.
Yeah.
Play your game. All right? That's what everybody just needs to do. And, you know, you can lose and people say they're doing their job and they're getting better. They just don't have enough of this. But there's a difference between that and, you know, guys looking unprepared, guys being sloppy. You know, penalties are preventable, okay? You know, I think last year the penalties were one of the really bad things that if I were Brian Callahan, I would want to clean up. Because penalties happen when you're not prepared, when your fundamentals are wrong and you're in a bad position, or you're just not concentrating enough and you're not focused enough on the task at hand. And, you know, those are, you know, usually preventable things. There's a reason a lot of the really good teams, you know, and when Vrabel came in, weren't they like one of the least penalized teams in the league?
I believe so. I believe that is correct.
Yeah. And then like the last couple of years, didn't those penalties go up?
They did. They had Andre Diller trying to hold everybody.
Yeah. Well, as the personnel got worse, the penalties went up because their physical abilities to do things weren't as good. And so, you know, they've got to get better players, number one, but they've got to get that discipline back where they're not committing penalties. And that, to me, that is something that is coachable. And that takes you out of bad situations. So people have to do their jobs. And if they don't do their jobs, and, you know, look, you can argue we saw that with Rand. They went 3-14. If you don't do your job, you're going to be looking for another job.
Corey, a truly cleanup-worthy performance by you today here on the program. We appreciate so much your time and you being flexible with us, and we will talk to you next week.
Well, you know, I got my torpedo bat.
Good to see.
I had a 3-0 fastball, and I said, damn the torpedoes, and we just let it rip.
You smoked it.
Nice.
Yeah. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Thank you, Corey.
All right, later, ladies.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll react to what Corey had to say, plus some news on the program that we'll get to coming up next. A lot to get to, actually, here in the next few minutes. Some news from Adam Schefter as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Time for the 4th Annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, proud to announce we'll be back at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, May 29th. To make a difference while having a great time, you can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donation will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Once again, 615open.com. Joe, some news on the Abdul Carter front. Schefter putting this out there earlier this morning. Apparently that Abdul Carter had breakfast with Brian Daboll on Sunday. So that's where we're at in the draft process. Abdul Carter had breakfast with Brian Daboll on Sunday, and he also figures to be a top three pick. So Schefter putting the breaking stuff out there. What, you think they had a waffle maker wherever they went for breakfast?
I don't know. Someone pointed out to me that there's a three waffle makers here, and Jeff Bezos only has one, so I should stop complaining. I'd like to know if Abdul Carter limped as he went up to the line to get eggs or didn't.
Good question. Was he able to grab the eggs with the shoulder? There's a lot of things we got to figure
that
out
too.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah, did Daboll scoop the eggs out for him?
Maybe so. What a good guy he'd be if he did that. Kind of helping on the sales pitch front there. Not that there's anything to sell if you draft someone.
Building a good culture.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, you mentioned the sales. I know still he's yelling at me about taking the Titans' word for it on the sales. So okay. You know, maybe that's a preview of what's to come today. But
we'll see.
I told him. I mean, I have heard, you know, that they've gone well. I think that they are actually going well, but I don't have the sales sheet in front of me, so I can't tell you that for sure.
I can only react to what we've heard. I got some tickets to give away to see Pierce the Veil at Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, June 4th. Be caller number three. Caller number three will win tickets to see Pierce the Veil at Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, June 4th. It is an end of an era on our program this week. Keezer, you have a quick announcement to make as we go through the rest of this week here.
Yeah, I'll get this quickly before we get caller number three here, Robbie. But yeah, this will be my final week on the program, and it's been a great last couple of years with you guys and getting to hang out with you every day. And looking forward to Ian Safar to take over this program, and waking up early listening to you guys will be a pleasure. But I leave it in good hands to him, and I'm on to some, you know, great things in the sports world. I plan on being a reporter, and if that's in the NHL soon, that would be great. And if it's elsewhere, that'd be great as well. But yeah, this has been a great stepping stone for me in my career, and we'll see where it takes me, guys. But we'll have a fun week ahead of us, and Friday will be very bittersweet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, got more time with you this week, and we'll get into that a little bit later throughout the week. But very proud of Nick Keezer and the work that he's done here on the program. We will have Ian Safar joining us next week. So bittersweet week this week here on the show. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Robbie didn't let me say anything about Nick.